Romans chapter 12, if you'd like to turn there. This is the passage that we have been in for the last few weeks when I've been preaching on a Sunday evening. And we've been looking at spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gift is as yet? I found a little test you can do today that I had, that I forgot that I had. So I did it on a couple of people today. And they both ended up with what we're looking at tonight. So hopefully this doesn't go against what they just learnt about themselves. And I said they got to listen. But we've been looking at, so far, if you look there, we have from verse 7, the gift of ministry or serving in practical ways. And then also, we have looked at the gift of teaching, that ability to share God's word in a manner that is easy to be understood. Or the gift of exhortation, that one of encouraging and calling someone alongside you. And then he that giveth, we see, let him do it with simplicity. And we looked at that last Sunday night, giving or willingness to share what is yours. And then it says, he that ruleth. Now that wasn't the one that these two people discovered today. We're going to miss that one. That'll come up a little bit later on. But the next one, and the last in this list, is he that showeth mercy. You do it with cheerfulness. And so we're looking at the gift of mercy this evening. And so before we begin, let's ask for God's guidance in it. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you have given us particular gifts that are a fruit of the Spirit that dwells within, that we may be a blessing to one another. Thank you that for the reminder that these gifts aren't for ourselves, but for others within the local church, and where to use them, that we may be an encouragement to others. And for those that may have the gift of mercy, and Lord, they'll see this as a genuine gift, a special gift, and one that they need to be exercising in this local assembly as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heard of a story of a young girl came home, told her mother that her best friend was crying in the playground because her mother was very sick. And so the mum said to her daughter, "So what did you say to her?" And she said, "Nothing, I just went and sat beside her and cried with her." And that gives us a little bit of the insight of someone with the gift of mercy. Going to look at the verse. It says there in verse 15 of chapter 12, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Someone with the gift of mercy has that ability to be able to sympathize with those who are in a sad situation. And out of all the spiritual gifts that we see, although they all come from God, they are a part of His character. If I had to pick one gift that portrays the character of God more than any other, I would have to put mercy as the one that would portray His character more than anyone else. Not that He has this in more of an abundance than anything else, but He shows it probably more than any other of His character because of what we are like. We are in such a need of His mercy. And so He is called upon to show mercy so much more than probably any other part of His character. You know, the fact is, we have a merciful God and we ought to be praising Him for that. We know that He's holy, we know that He's just, we know that He's powerful, we know that He is all-knowing, but if He wasn't a God of mercy, we would all be in a lot of trouble. We have a merciful God. And there are two parts to mercy and mercy shown. There is that part of forgiving someone for what they have done. And sometimes if you go through an Awana program that some of you would be aware of, mercy is not giving me the punishment I deserve. And that is a part of what mercy is. And that's what God does to us as believers. He forgives us and He doesn't give us the punishment we deserve. And all throughout our life, there are so many things that we deserve to get in a bad way, but He doesn't give it to us. He forgives us instead. And that is a wonderful aspect to the character of God, that He doesn't give us what we deserve, but He forgives us instead. But that's not where mercy begins and ends. There is another side to mercy, and when considering mercy as a spiritual gift, it's the other aspect of mercy that we need to concentrate on if you want to know how you as a person who has the gift of mercy should be used in the local church. See, the word mercy basically means to have compassion on somebody in an unhappy circumstance. Where you see someone in an unhappy circumstance and you want to help them out of that terrible circumstance that they are in. And so it goes beyond showing pity or sympathy for someone, but you have that desire to remove that misery from them. It's an outward manifestation of sympathy. It's a verb, so it's a doing word. And I guess one way to describe it is, for those who have a television, I'm sure you've seen those ads on TV of children that are starving in one country or another and the terrible plight that they're going through. And you would have to have a very hard heart not to see those pictures and hear what they're going through and not feel sorry for them. And you can see and hear what they're going through and you have that empathy, you feel sorry for them, but then another ad comes on and that thought's gone. Now that feeling that you have for those children in that plight isn't really what this word mercy is talking about. Now if you were to show true mercy, you would see what they're going through and then want to do something, actively do something. I'm going to get on that phone, I'm going to subscribe to that, and I'm going to give money to help these people. It's that action that comes from having compassion on somebody. And the blessing is we have a God like this as well. He sees the circumstances that we are in, the sad circumstances that we're in, and yes, He shows or has compassion towards us. But He's just not in heaven feeling sorry for us. He actually puts into action ways to help us through that miserable circumstance. And when we have that great the comforter that comes and comes beside us, that is the picture of showing mercy as well. The paraclete, the one that comes beside to comfort, that's what the Holy Spirit is referred to. And that's what it's talking about here. Seeing someone in a miserable circumstance and then going beside them to help them in some way. And that's what God does for us. He sees our circumstances and He wants to help. And He does what is best for us in that circumstance. And we have a wonderful God that, like that. It says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting." You know, you can read that, and I don't think we even a little bit truly comprehend what that really means for us. That His mercy is everlasting. Or as it says in Psalm 103, verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." For those who fear the Lord, we have a merciful God, where not just He forgives, but He has compassion and helps us. And this gives us an idea, for those who have this gift of mercy, how they should be acting. You know, let me throw out a few definitions that men smarter than me have given about this gift. One has said, "The gift of mercy is the gift to sympathize with and to suffer alongside those who fall into grievous affliction. Another man says, every Christian is expected to be merciful. That is the role that reflects the fruit of the Spirit. But those with the gift of mercy make compassion and kindness their lifestyle. They don't simply react to emergencies as every Christian is supposed to. They continually seek opportunities to show mercy or pity for the miserable. And this is where the difference between someone with the gift of exhortation is to those, someone with the gift of mercy. If you can remember back, I said that the gift of exhortation is to call alongside. So you get the idea of someone going up a hill with somebody else. They're happily going up. Then they realize, where's this person? They turn around and they see that they're struggling down or halfway up. Maybe they're exhausted or they've fallen over and they've hurt themselves. They're sitting there crying because they can't make it. Or someone with the gift of exhortation will call them alongside. They won't say, ah, forget it, I'm going to keep going. They stop and they say, come on, you can make it. I believe in you. And you might even give them some simple ways. Just put one step after the other. Watch that rock and come up beside me so we can walk together. That's the gift of exhortation. But the gift of mercy would be someone who sees that person down there and goes to them. Goes down alongside them, comes alongside them like that paraclete as the Holy Spirit is referred to, and might sit down and cry with them or just take a break with them and understand how they're feeling and so on. That's the difference between the two types of gifts. Now, to help you see if maybe this is you, these are some of the characteristics that is portrayed by someone with the gift of mercy. And if you don't have all these characteristics, that doesn't mean you don't have the gift of mercy, but these things, some of these things should be found in you. First one is, you're drawn to those in distress. You know, some people can see someone in a sad circumstance and then just walk on by and not really think much of it. Others can see them and think, oh, and then keep on going. It's a little bit like, you know, the people with the, you know, the Good Samaritan, I guess. You know, the one sees and walks on, one goes and looks and feels sorry, and then you've got the one that feels compelled to go and help that person. They not just see them, they are drawn to go and help them. They understand how the situation, or they want to understand and they want to help them. Also, people with this gift are often sensitive to words and actions that can offend. You see, they understand there are things that offend people in word or action, and they can see how it hurts people, and so they recognize that. Now, the problem is, generally, they get hurt by these things as well, by the words that people say and the actions. They get offended easily. That's why they see others getting offended by these as well. You know, some people can say certain things, and they don't realize it's offensive. And I'd probably put myself into that category. You know, I can say things and I don't realize it's offensive. Now, the good side is you can say plenty of things to me and I don't find it offensive either, all right? But someone with the gift of mercy will often see things, they'll be offended easily and they'll see the offensive behavior of others. See how people are hurt. I want to help. They have that desire to see hurts removed and healed. Now, there are some negatives to someone with this gift. Often they appear weak and not firm. They can sometimes appear gullible or soft. Dear, I can think of some people not in this church, I'll say that. Peter Miller would know of two people like this because they come from his church. One's his mum. Very, I know it sounds bad, but listen to a lot of sad stories and we'll be sucked into it. Yeah? Oh, and sometimes they can even be taken for a little ride, all right? Because they hear this sad story. They're so overwhelmed with the sad story, and so they want to help this person. And if someone who's of a greedy nature understands they're like that, they can abuse their kindness as well. And someone who has this gift can often appear to be soft or weak or can often be used by people. But that's their nature. They don't even mind being used in that sense. So if you wanted to put it all in a nutshell, we see the picture of someone who is sensitive to the hurts and sadness of others and feels compelled to help them in any way they can. Now, when it comes to examples in the Word of God of people like this, I have to say that examples aren't there in the abundance, not clearly anyway. One example would be, I believe, 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you'd like to turn over there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. It says there in verse 16, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Here Paul mentions a man by the name of Onesiphorus who, he says, refreshed him often. That is, cooled him off or relieved him of the troubles that he was going through. And in this circumstance in Rome, Paul was a prisoner in chains. And I'm sure there were many believers that heard of the plight of Paul and felt sorry for Paul. But that's as far as it went. But Onesiphorus searched him out, found him, and then endeavored to relieve his discomfort in some way. And Paul wishes or prays that the Lord will show him mercy, he says there. I pray that the Lord will show mercy to Onesiphorus and his house. I suspect because Onesiphorus showed mercy to him. And so we have that picture of someone who sees the plight of others and wants to help them in some way to get through that circumstance. Now, if we want to see the greatest example of someone who shows mercy, obviously the Lord Jesus is the one. From his life, we see the gift of mercy in action. And what I want you to notice, we'll just look at two passages, but when someone comes and asks Christ to show them mercy, he responds in a physical way. He helps their physical need. Now, there are times when people come to the Lord Jesus and they say, "Jesus, show mercy upon me." And what they are doing is asking for forgiveness. And that's another side of mercy. Please forgive me and don't punish me. Show me mercy. But then we see the practical side of showing mercy as well. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. The keys here is we see that they ask for mercy, he shows compassion, and then he helps them in that situation they're in. Have a look in chapter 20 and verse 29 of Matthew. "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I should do unto you?' And they say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." See the sequence? They sought mercy. And the Lord said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Please that we may receive our sight." This was a circumstance that they were going through, this terrible plight of blindness. And Jesus saw their plight, he had compassion on them, and he relieved them of that terrible situation and allowed them to see sight. You know, we see another example over in Luke chapter 17. These people didn't have blindness, but they certainly were outcasts because of their disease. Chapter 17, verses 11 to 16. It says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan." And so we see here that Jesus healed these people once they cried out for mercy. And there are many other examples of Christ having compassion on somebody and showing mercy. And what did he do? See their greatest need, obviously other than salvation, but see the plight that they were in and do what he could to remove that from them. And so how does this apply to us today? Well, if you have the gift of mercy, you need to be on the lookout for those within this local church that need someone to come and so to speak, weep with them who are weeping, right? If often you'll be someone that automatically is drawn to that. But if you understand that this is my gift and you can see that in you, I would encourage you to exercise that gift, get better at it. Just like someone once said to me, I think you have the gift of teaching. That doesn't mean I discover it and I can teach to my best ability straight away. I need to exercise that and grow with that gift. And it's the same with every gift, and it's the same with mercy. If this is where your gift is, the more you use it, the more you show it, the better at it you get. And so if there is someone who is sick, if there is someone who is suffering, if there is someone that you are aware of who is sad within this church, well then you need to exercise your gift of in your very special way to refresh them, just like Onesiphorus did. Now, I don't know how Onesiphorus refreshed the Apostle Paul. Maybe he just had this special elixir that you could rub on your body and it took away the chafing of the chains or something, and he just went and gave and said, "Let me refresh those places where the chains rub." He just had this special desire to help people that way. I'm just making it up, all right? I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he just sat and cried with him. I don't know. But you know how with each gift there are different operations, different ways it can be used? Just like if you have the gift of teaching, you may especially be able to teach children or adults or professors or whatever it may be. Same with the gift of showing mercy. Some people just have a little niche of how they are good at showing mercy and refreshing and helping someone. And it may be very different to someone else. But you need to show that mercy to people within this local church. Now, if you do have the gift, there is one piece of encouragement or advice that the Lord gives you. It says there in verse 8, "He that showeth mercy, do it with cheerfulness." All right, that's the key. If you have the gift, do it with cheerfulness. The Greek word, I don't normally try and say the Greek words, but it's worth saying here. It's the Greek word hilaritetai. hilaritatai, where we get hilarious. All right, that is hilarious. I'm thinking, like, you know how some people dress up as clowns and they go around the wards in the hospitals? Maybe they have a gift of mercy, all right? They just want to bring hilarious situations in these sad times. But that's what the word means. And so if you are someone who shows mercy, you need to do it with a joyful attitude. It's not, oh, okay, I hear you're sick, so how can I help you? You know, that's not really doing it with a cheerful spirit. If you've been in hospital, there are two types of nurses, isn't there? They may do exactly the same job, but there are some that do it cheerfully, and their presence and their attitude makes you feel good, and you feel a bit better. While others, they may tuck your sheet in, and they may fix up your pillow, and they may do it, but they do it with a different attitude, and you sort of feel like you're putting them out, and you're sort of glad when they leave the room, because that's how they make you feel better when they leave. I'm sure Rachel is the better one, you know, but most times I'm sure they all go through bad times. But there are two ways you can be cheerful. You can show mercy. And you need to do it with a cheerful heart. That means you are obviously someone that is not going to be negative. You're going to be positive in these circumstances. You know, our family went for a hike or whatever you call it to Melview Caves, well, however you say it. I can never get it right. Anyway, Josh was very excited about jumping around the rocks, and probably one of the smallest rocks, but jumped on it, slipped and whacked his knee, and all of a sudden there's dirty big scratches and a big little hole and blood coming out. And you can see the difference between Linda and I when it comes to showing mercy or not showing mercy. You know, Linda sees it and says, "You've got to stop, Josh, let me fix it." And she's looking at it and trying to make sure he's okay and wanting to wipe away the blood, and there's sympathy there. While I look at it and say, "Oh, I hope you don't get gangrene." Yes, what's gangrene? Okay, that's when your leg falls off. What? Okay, boy, there's a lot of blood coming out. I hope you don't bleed out. Bleed out. And Linda goes, "Don't worry, you got plenty of blood still left." Now that's the difference. You don't want someone with the gift of mercy to come, "Boy, this really does look serious. I don't know if there's much hope." See how there's a cheerful spirit or a positive spirit. You want to make people feel better, not worse, after you've left them. Sadly, what I've noticed is when someone is going through a sad time or depressed, too often it's those who are sad and depressed that go and help the sad and depressed person, because they can sort of sympathize, but all they do is make the person even more sad and depressed, because they dump all their problems on the sad and depressed person. They don't actually make them feel better, they make them feel worse. And that's not what the gift does, all right? You may be drawn to people because they're sad like you are, but unless you're making them feel better, don't go. You know, as one commentator, I don't know who he really is, his name's James Denny. He says, "A person of a grudging or despondent mood has not the endowment for showing mercy. He who is to visit the poor and the sick and the sorrowful will be marked out by God for his special ministry, by this endowment of brightness and good cheer." Right? Not being miserable. Another, Mr. Vincent, says, "It is the joyful eagerness which make the visitor a sunbeam penetrating into the sick chamber and to the heart of the afflicted." And so that gives us an idea of what and how the gift of mercy is to be shown. Someone who sees someone in a sad, miserable circumstance and is drawn to them with the idea of wanting to help them out of that. Someone with a cheerful attitude or a sympathetic one. Someone who can get beside and comfort. And if that's you, we need you. Because there are plenty, all of us go through sad, despondent times. And that's where those with the gift of mercy need to not only know they have that gift and they need to be seeing people who need that, well then you're the special people that God has gifted to help people in those circumstances. Rather than someone saying, I hope you don't get gangrene from, you know, they need people that will go and encourage in one way or another. And so that's a special gift, one that our church needs, one that can lay up certainly treasure on earth, let alone be a blessing and a treasure here, as long as it is exercised with the right attitude. And when it is, it's certainly not done in vain. Have you got the gift of mercy? I hope some of you do. I hope a lot of you do. And if so, be on the lookout for how you can use it amongst us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for the mercy you show us every day. Thank you, you don't punish us the way we deserve, but you are good to us. Thank you that you see our miserable circumstances, and Lord, you will do what is needed to keep us or get us out of those miserable circumstances. And even, Lord, that should make us realize that if you haven't answered prayer for one reason, when we've asked for relief, obviously you're doing that, allowing it to stay because you want to be merciful towards us. There is a reason for it to remain. Help us never to doubt how merciful you truly are. I pray that we will all show mercy to one another, especially those you have gifted here to do that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.